Hey everybody, what's going on? Bay Ragney here, and you're here for another episode of the Rock and Ragney Show. And do I have an episode for you? Original drummer Steve Riley of LA Guns, formerly of Wasp, which we'll talk about too with him. He just dished the dirt, all the dirt about Phil Lewis, Tracy Guns, the whole split, what's going on, why there's two LA Guns, everything. So if you're an LA Guns fan, if you're a Steve Riley fan, if you're a Wasp fan, here it is. Here is the dirt, the scoop, the info, and everything straight from Steve Riley's mouth. So without further ado, Steve Riley. There he is, Mr. Steve Riley himself.
How you doing, Bay?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm so sorry. I'm a couple minutes late. The other thing ran over a little bit.
That's all right, man. That's quite all right. You're a busy bee right now.
Right on, yeah.
So real quick, I'm going to throw this out there, and hopefully you won't remember me, but I met you probably 7-8 years ago. You guys were playing down in Delaware at the Cube, and you guys did an acoustic show. And let me start off by saying, too, I'm a huge, huge LA Guns fan. Love you guys since day one.
Right on.
So I was there in all my glory. I was having a blast. Got a little drunk. Maybe a little more than a little drunk. And right. You guys came out afterwards and, hanging out with everybody, signing stuff and all. And I went over and I started talking to you. And I was breaking your balls bad. And you finally, after like 5 minutes, I was breaking your balls about Tracy. I was breaking your balls about Blackie Lawless. And finally, you're just like, dude, give me a break. Please, just give me a break.
Right.
So I promise you, I'm not going to break your balls tonight. It's going to be a straight-up interview we're going to do.
Sounds good. I'm ready when you are.
All right, man. So I got to, let's first off, congrats on all this. And I talked to Kelly last week. I said this to Kelly, too. And I honest to God, I didn't want to like the song when you guys put out music. I love LA Guns. I just wanted to be, faithful to Tracy. I've talked to Tracy many times over the years. I wanted to be faithful to Phil, and I just wanted to be faithful to them guys. And you guys put out this single, Crawl, and I was like, holy shit. It blew me away. I'm like, all right, I truly love this song. I got it. It's the fact that I just love LA Guns, so I'm being kind of impartial. I might piss Tracy off probably, but, I just want to let everybody know involved. I love all you guys, and I just hope, everybody can make some beautiful music, and hopefully everybody can mend some fences at some point, and that's, hopefully we can do that tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad, bro. I'm so glad you like Crawl. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I honest to God, I was, really pleasantly surprised. And when you guys played M3 last year, I heard a lot of tremendous reviews. Friends that were there, they were, I think everybody was pretty surprised. They probably weren't expecting a lot, and you guys really, did everybody proud and did the name proud.
Oh, thank you, baby. That makes me feel good.
So when Phil started working with Tracy a couple of years ago, they started doing a couple of shows and stuff like that and started writing some stuff together. Did you have any inkling that maybe Phil might, go back to Tracy full time, or did he mention anything to you, or were you kind of side-swiped?
Yeah, he did. He mentioned it in the middle of that tour in 2016. He said that he was going to do some shows with him, and this is after, 15, 20 years of him just putting him down and just saying that he'd never be able to play with them again. So I was totally caught off guard by really, he goes, yeah, I'm going to do these shows with them. I was so, okay. And so we were right in the middle of our tour in 2016. And so then it turned into, we're going to do a bunch of shows in 2017. I was like, all right. So then I just looked at the finish line, Bay. I was like, headed to the finish line at the end of 2016. I knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And I knew that I was going to have to regroup myself and figure out how and what I was going to do. It's happened to me many times in my career.
Sure.
I've had to dust myself off and not know exactly what I was going to do, but know I was going to do something. And
right.
This was the case in this situation. So that last half of 2016 was kind of difficult because I already knew what was going to happen. And I wasn't too into it, but I had to just deal with it and know that it was a reality and just get to the finish line of 2016. Yeah. And then, you know, when 2017 came around, that's when I started talking with Kelly and, you know, and trying to put regroup and figure out how I was going to take Elegance on.
Did you think to yourself, like, so you, all right, so you already, like, had the end, like you're saying, like, the end of the finish line picture, you already knew what was going to happen. Were you already thinking in your head, like, your own version of LA Guns? Were you thinking a whole new band, or?
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't my own version of LA Guns. I think that everybody knows that I'm the longest tenured member in LA Guns.
Right.
The original classic lineup. I'm the only one that never quit the band. And everybody else had quit the band one time or another. Sometimes twice they quit the band. And so I was the only one, and I run the business for the band. I played on all the albums. So I wasn't thinking of starting my own LA Guns. I was thinking about continuing LA Guns on. And that's the way I look at it now. I do not think of this as being a second LA Guns or a reformed LA Guns. This is LA Guns to me, and this is because I had never left the band and always run the band business-wise and been the guy who put everything together, I just knew that I was going to continue on playing in LA Guns. And with Kelly Nichols calling me, the original bass player, my battery mate, one of my best friends, guy who wrote Ballad of Jane, I was like, yeah, let's do this, man. Let's go and do it. And so, you know, we started working on material right away and figuring out how we could do this. And it culminated in us doing the M3 show when we finally felt like we had the right formula of people together.
Now, did you, like we all know, there's been many revolving members of LA Guns over the years. Did you reach out, like, did you initially, like, so it was you and Kelly initially, did you reach out to Mick first and throw the offer out to him, or did you throw it?
Well, what happened was, and when we were doing Hollywood Forever in 2012, he had intimated to me and Phil that he wanted to come back. You know, he had been out of the band for quite a while doing other stuff, and he wanted to come back then, and I was all for it, and Phil wasn't for it. Phil did not want it to happen, and I was all for it, getting my battery mate back and getting one of the prolific songwriters from the band back,
one of the
big poster guys for the band, too. He was a poster child for LA Guns. So, you know, when he wanted to do it in 2012, I wanted to do it. So me and him had stayed tight through the entire thing, and when this thing happened, I guess they reached out to him to write some songs with them, and they had sent him some material, and he had written back to them saying, this is kind of weak. Can we start fresh and try to make these songs a little bit better? Well, that offended them so much that they went on the internet and they tore them up on the internet. And I didn't even know that. And they tore them up on the internet. And Kelly was really hurt by it because he thought he was only like just making a suggestion about maybe starting the song over and starting fresh writing it. And it offended them so much, especially Phil, that he went on the internet and said all this shit about Kelly. So Kelly called me, and then it was like, you know, let's do this, man. Let's keep going on, and let's because you got to remember, those two guys, Phil and Trace, went on as Phil and Tracy from LA Guns when they were doing their shows. They didn't go out as LA Guns until quite a while after that. Then they started calling themselves LA Guns. Me, I never considered myself out of LA Guns. I never quit. I never stopped doing it. So I knew I was going to get Mick and Kelly and maybe even Mick Cripps back, because Mick was somewhat interested, but he was doing his own thing. But I never even stopped thinking about it. And so, you know, when they tore Kelly up like that on the internet, it was a no-brainer to say, Kelly, come on, let's do this together.
Yeah.
And he wrote Crawl. He brought Crawl in, and he's a prolific songwriter. The guy's really good. And so, you know, having him back is just awesome. It's great.
Did you, like, again, going back to, like, asking, you know, to fill out the lineup, did you ask members, like past members, and I'm not asking name names, but did anybody say like, you know what, like I kind of don't want to get involved. This could be like too much drama for me, or.
Yeah, because when we were going to do the M3 show, I had thought about some alumni that could maybe want to do the show with us. And I had asked like Jizzy Pearl, and I had asked Stacey Blades and some other people that might want to do the show. And they were either doing other projects or thought that, no, they don't want to get involved in any drama. And that was fine because Scotty Griffin had been playing bass with the band for like 14 years, but he's really a lead guitar player. And he's a great musician. So Scotty was a no-brainer to ask him, why don't you get back on the guitar and do this with us? And we found Kurt Fuller through a friend to Las Vegas, and then we never really auditioned singers. He was the first guy that we tried, and he was just fantastic. So we lucked out there by not having to audition a shitload of people.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it, like I said, man, the first single is just amazing. I truly do love it. There's so much bad blood between you and Tracy, and it's well documented. Have you ever tried? And I remember that night back in Delaware, I tried talking about this, and I know what you told me then, but, have you tried, especially more recently after all this has happened, to try to like sit down and get things hashed out? And
he's been so unreasonable, you know, even when Phil was with me for like 15 years without Tracy in the band, he's like an unreasonable guy to even try to figure anything out with. He wasn't always like that, but he has been, and for like the last 20 years, and he's fought me on every way. He's the one that quit the band and went with Nikki to do Pride of Destruction. He left me and Phil up in the air. We lost a record deal. We lost a tour because of the disarray in the band.
Right.
And he's been a very unreasonable person to deal with. And so that's why I never really tore him up in the press, but he did with me, and Phil did against Tracy. I think everybody knows how much Phil dissed Tracy for 15 years and said he would never play with them again. So, you know, that whole thing was not even a reality to check to see if he wanted to do something with me. I already knew that he just didn't like the fact that I was going to continue on with Phil, and we were going to do this thing, and we ended up doing like 4 or 5 albums after he left the band. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, him and Phil are going to do some shows together because they could make a little bit more money, and that was that. But no, there was really no chance of me and him getting back together. He had laid the groundwork for that not to happen.
Yeah. Now, have you heard any of the music that those guys have put out over the years? And I mean, they just put a new single out last week as well. I mean, have you gone and like checked out any of the music? Have you tried talking to Phil anymore, or is it just?
I haven't talked to Phil since he left the band, and we never really had a blowout either. It was just him leaving and him telling me on the way out the door, "Listen, I'm going to do this for 6 months, but I'm going to come back, man, because Tracy's so unstable that I don't think I'll be able to do it for more than 6 months." So, and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. And so the thing is, I haven't talked to Phil at all. I haven't talked to Tracy, and I did not listen, not purposely, but I didn't hear those two albums that they did. To this day, I don't know what they sound like. I couldn't even comment on them. I did hear this latest single that they did only because it popped up on the internet, and all of a sudden there was some sort of competition between Crawl and their new single.
Right.
So, you know, it was right there, and I listened to it, and I heard it. And that was the first thing that I've heard from them do. I didn't hear anything off of the first two albums. And like I said, it wasn't purposely. It was like I just never heard it. I never listened to it.
Wow. Yeah, you know what, too? And, like, their new single, which it's a great song, too, but to me it doesn't sound like Ellie Guns. It actually sounds different. And Phil's voice sounded very different to me, too.
You know, it sounds, I don't know how to comment on it, but it sounds, I just feel like with Crawl, we capture LA Guns. I really do.
Yeah.
I feel like with Kelly bringing that song in, the gist of that song, and then us finishing in the studio, I feel like he has such a grip on what LA Guns is about and how we sound. And I think the rest of the album sounds like that. It sounds like LA Guns recorded it. It's our style. We don't step out of our style. We don't really want to step out of our style. We like what we did and what we do. And so we wrote the album in that vein of what we always have done. So, you know, I think Crawl really conveys an LA Gun sound. Their song, you know, it might be a good song. I don't know. It's kind of like a really down-tempo song. And I couldn't really get a grip on what it was all about or how it felt. But I kind of agree with you. It doesn't really quite sound like what stuff we used to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You know, it might have been an outside writer. It might have been something like that that happened with them. Maybe that's what they use right now is a bunch of guys to help them write songs. But with Kelly and I, we keep it in-house. We don't have anybody trying to help us write songs. And we're so proud of LA Guns, the two of us. We're proud of what we did and how we sound and what kind of a rock sound we convey. And so, you know, we don't really want to step out of that area too much.
Right, right. So the album's all done, you said, right? It's called, and it's going to be called Renegades?
Yeah, it's called Renegades. It's on Golden Robot Records, and it's all done. I got to tell you, brother, we're so lucky. We got it done at the end of 2019. We were thinking about doing it this year. If we did, we would have been screwed. And so we got it done. It was packaged and everything by the beginning of January. And we were so lucky because of the touring situation right now and what's right. going on. And if we decided to do it now, everybody's living all over the country, the four guys in the band, it'd be almost impossible to do it. So we were so fortunate to finish it at the end of 2019 and be able to work it this year because you don't have much else to do right now. We're all waiting. We've got a shitload of dates that we should have done already, and those have been either canceled or postponed and pushed back. They're all going to start in August, but that even that's dodgy. We don't know.
Sure.
We don't know.
Sure.
We don't know what's going to go on now.
Yeah, it's crazy times right
so
now.
So we're lucky. We got Renegades done. The whole album's done. We're so proud of it. It's old school recording the way Sabbath would have done the first album. Just go in and record it, and we didn't overthink it or anything. And we're very fortunate. The whole thing is done, Renegades, and we're really proud of it.
Now, is there a release date on that yet, or?
You know what? I think that what they're going to do is they were going to do Crawl, and now in June they're going to do a second single off it. And there's so much depth off to the album because Kelly had a lot to do with the writing, and everybody really contributed with songs we've been sitting on and everything. And I think we're going to do a second single in June.
Okay.
And then, you know, work that into the August area where we're going to go out and have that album either come out late July or early August to coincide with the dates. But like I said, you know, we have the dates in front of us that have been rescheduled. But, man, I'm telling you, I'm gauging everything that we're doing off of sports because it's such a similar
yeah.
thing with so many people gathered together. And if they're going to play in front of no fans, and that just doesn't work with concerts.
No, not at all.
No, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen.
That's something, too, like I learned last week after talking to Kelly, which I don't think maybe a lot of people don't even know, that you actually were the one who handled pretty much the band business all these years.
Oh, from the very beginning, I came out of Wasp, and we had the Iron Maiden machine around Wasp, too. And I learned so much, and so I came into the band, the really seasoned guy. These guys had not really done a lot, you know. They were playing clubs around L.A., and when I left Wasp, or got fired from Wasp, that I got right into L.A. Guns. They were big fans of Wasp, and I kind of got nominated right away to be the guy to run the business for the band and get the management and build the machine around the band. And so from day one, I joined in 87 to now, I've been running all the business. It's not something I wanted to do because it's sometimes a little awkward being the guy that has to tell the band, we got to do this. You
right.
know, it kind of separates you from the band a little bit. And so but that's exactly what I've been doing since 87, running the band business and putting record deals together and putting tours together. And I just put this whole album together and produced it.
Holy cow. people got to give you a little bit more credit than what they give you.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, and I don't know if people realize how much that I have done for the band, and that I was the only one that never quit the band and kept it going through all of these years. And I really had to dig in to make things happen, especially after, you know, the heyday in 92 came and grunge came. It was a difficult period to keep things going, to keep pushing forward. And so, I that's all I do is dig in and try to make things happen for the band.
So at any moment, though, after all that stuff happened where, you know, Phil was leaving and you were looking at yourself and yourself over the horizon and your career, were you nervous or scared at all? Like, what the hell do I do now?
No, because you want to know something, brother? I had been up and down throughout my career. I've gone fired from a couple bands and had to know I got to get right back up and dust myself off. And I trust my drumming enough. I've been playing drums for so long that I know I'm going to do something. So a lot of times I don't know what it's going to be, how I'm going to pull it off, but I know I'm going to do it. I know that I'm that much of a determined person that I know I'm going to do something. I'm going to make something out of this, but not a lot of times. Sometimes I just don't know what it might be right at that moment, but I wasn't scared at all. And especially with the long lead up to it from that whole second half of 2016, knowing it was going to happen, I was kind of prepped for it, so I wasn't scared at all. It was just kind of disappointed, you know, more than anything.
So let's say for some crazy reason, you get a call from Phil, and Phil says, you know what, I've talked to Tracy, he's ready to bury the hatchet, and we want to put together the classic lineup. Would you be interested in anything doing that?
You know what, I am always into the classic lineup. I was so disappointed, brother, when the original Wasp got disbanded and broke up. Chris Holmes, Randy Piper, Blackie, and myself, I was so disappointed that band didn't keep going on because it was such a great band. I thought we were great. Yeah. And I thought we sounded and looked and theatrically and sonically, we had it all going on. Absolutely. So I'm always into classic lineups. I never say never on anything. I always will size up a situation and see where if it's the best thing to do. But I never say never on anything, you know. And Kelly and I got to tell you, being back with him is such an awesome experience. It's so cool playing with Kelly again. My battery mate, my second half of the rhythm section. And, you know, me and him, we never say never to anything, but we work with what we got right now, and we're so happy with Kurt and Scott. We feel like we lucked out with these two guys, that they're such great seasoned musicians. But you know what? I'm like a total realist, and I never say never to anything.
I hear you. Well, congrats to both you and Kelly. Amazing. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, you brought them up, Wasp. Have you talked or heard from any, from Blackie, Randy, or Chris at all over the years? Or
the last thing I did was on the 30th anniversary of Wasp, me and Randy Piper were both asked to go out to play with Sin City Sinners for a night in Vegas.
Okay.
And when we got together, Randy and I were such good friends still. I'm such really good friends with all of them, even Blackie. But the thing is that Randy had an idea of maybe we can get the original band back together to do a 30th anniversary short tour and then just go out and have some fun, the original four guys. And that was the last thing that I did. I reached out to Chris. I reached out to Blackie, and Randy did the same thing, and that was it. They didn't want to do it, and me and Randy wanted to do that, and that was the really last I heard or talked to anybody in the band, but I was totally down for that, and that was during playing with Phil, and LA Guns was going, but on some downtime, let's go do a little quick Wasp tour with the original guys.
Right.
And that was the last I talked to anybody, but I am friends with all of them, and I really respect all those guys still.
That's awesome. Well, Steve, thanks for taking the time out. See, I told you I wouldn't break your balls.
You didn't, brother. You're a killer.
Well, man, congrats to you again. You, Kelly, I'm, like I said, I'm loving the tune. I'm loving it. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. And I hope you guys hit the road in August. I hope you guys get out here to Nashville.
Oh, man, I can't wait, man. And I tell you what, just keep your fingers crossed. And for the time being, you and your family, be safe right now. Okay,
you
brother?
Too, you got it. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks again, bro. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.